So today we're going to ask and answer the question, what about Israel? You might say, well, why in the world are we in the book of Romans? Well, Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11 are all about Israel. A lot of people don't realize this because we use chapter 10 all the time in what's called the Romans Road, don't we? 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, and so forth. Verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But chapter 10 is about Israel. And today we ask this question, what about Israel? It is probably the number one question that I get asked as a pastor. What about Israel? Is God done with them? What happens next for them? So we're going to answer those questions. Is he done with Israel? What's next on God's calendar for Israel? What about the coming kingdom? Is it Jewish? And what does all that have to do with us? And that's what we're going to answer today. So here in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 21, it says, but to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So we answer that question, what about Israel? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn today, and Lord, we would also just be reminded about your perfect plan through history, and Lord, about what's next for us and for Israel. And we'd be reminded that they are still your people and we need to be praying for them. But I pray most of all, Lord, that we would each have that renewed commitment to tell as many people as we can the great news of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you'd be glorified and that you would guide us in your truth. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Israel has basically been in a state, if you will, of chastisement for 3,000 years. That's a long time, isn't it? It's basically one half of the history of mankind. Israel has been in chastisement. Since basically Solomon fell and the kingdom was divided, Israel has been, as it says here, disobedient, verse 21 of chapter 10, a disobedient people to their founder and their father, God. And this is all through. If you look at Isaiah 65:2, we'll see where God was consistently reaching out to Israel, begging them to come back to him. Isaiah 65, verse 2, Jehovah says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 5, quickly, verse 23. This people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. And then if you would look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel. Well, that's all caps, Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah, there is still the hope of Israel. Now let's look at Luke chapter 13 where Jesus is pronouncing another woe upon Israel. Luke 13, verse 34, look what he says. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and ye would not. This is Jesus, the Messiah who came in answer to all the Old Testament promises. But he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Israel rejected him. And he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together? But he says, you would not. And so Israel rejected their Messiah. And so what does that mean? What does that mean? God's done with them? Does that mean that the church has replaced Israel? No, it doesn't mean any of those things, as we will see. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures together. But as we talk about the next event in God's calendar, we talked about it last week. It's the removal of the church. But why is that? Well, because the church and Israel are two different groups, aren't they? And God's wrath will be poured out upon Israel whenever that event occurs, the removal of the church. And it is a time of horrible wrath, a time of trouble. We'll look at a quick couple of scriptures. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now, that has a lot of names. You can call it Daniel's 70th week. You can call it the time of Jacob's trouble. You can call it the tribulation period. But it's all about Israel. Now, there are people who are trying to teach that God's done with Israel. And if that be the case, then what's the point of the tribulation period? To punish the church, which has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and justified? There is no point, is there? And yet it is Jewish, as we will see. But look at Daniel 12. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Daniel 12, 1. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30, if you would, quickly, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. The Bible says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. Now, we talked last week about Matthew 24, didn't we? Let's turn there, but verse 21, because a lot of people like to use Matthew 24 and 25 to talk about the impending rapture. That's not what it's talking about at all. What is it talking about? Look at Matthew 24, 21. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. That's talking about the second half. But over in chapter 25 of Matthew, look down at verse 40. What we find here is Jesus' judgment upon the nations when he returns to the earth 7 years after the rapture. And in this judgment, this king, verse 40, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. How many people take that verse out of context and say it's talking about the church? And no, this is talking about Jesus' physical brethren, the Jewish people, and part of this judgment that takes place when Jesus returns of the nations is going to be based on how they treated his brethren. How did they treat Israel? Well, we know how the world's treating Israel today, don't we? Of all the UN resolutions, about 50% of them are against that one tiny little nation in the Middle East called Israel. Isn't that amazing? We got all these nations all over the world, but most of the resolutions are against Israel. The world hates Israel, but God said that would happen. So when Jesus comes back, look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. There will be a certain group which will also witness this return. The Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Who's that talking about? That's the Jews. they which pierced him, they which said, crucify him, they which said, we have no king but Caesar. There will come a day when Jesus returns to the earth and they'll realize, oh, we missed it the first time as a nation. So then we get to Revelation 7. We get the 144,000 preachers during the tribulation period. They're all Jews. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all physical Jews. And what's the focus of the tribulation period? Look at Revelation chapter 12, and then we'll move on from our first verse. Revelation chapter 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is talking about Herod killing all those babies back at the time of Christ. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child. Who is he? Who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That tells us how long it will last, this tribulation period, this time of judgment upon Israel that is yet to come. But let's continue our study, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul actually asks the question that people are asking all the time, and many in churches even are not answering it properly. They're saying God is done with Israel, God has replaced Israel with the church. Let's see what the Bible says. Amen. Verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. God hath not cast away his people. Well, what more do we need? In other words, no. God is not done with Israel. Well, you know, and then he gives us this illustration from Isaiah. We ask ourselves this question, how has Israel survived for these 3,000 years when everyone hates them? And yet we still have Israel. We still have Jews, don't we? After 3,000 years of punishment, we still have Jews. Amen? And you know, that's one of the greatest proofs of the Bible. Is that Israel's still around? You think about all those other nations that they displaced that we've been reading about in Joshua. They're all gone. But Israel's still here. We think about Nero in the 70 AD wiping out the Jews in Jerusalem. We think about a guy named Hitler killing 6 million of them. You think the devil wasn't behind that? Of course he was. They're still here. Why are they still here? Because God said they would always be here. Look at Psalm 94:14, and I'll show you this. Psalm 94, verse 14. The Bible says, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. So this is Old Testament verse, basically telling us the same thing that God's telling us in Romans 11, no, there will not come a day when God's going to cast off his people permanently or forsake them. Now look at Isaiah 49:15, and we'll see it again. Isaiah 49, verse 15. What does the Bible say? Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Who's he talking to? Israel. I'll never forget. I'll never forsake you. So let's go back to our passage, Romans 11. Paul's answered the question. No, God will not and has not cast away his people. But Romans 11, verse 4, what does he say? Or sorry, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant. You know, if you look at Romans chapter 9, verse 4 quickly, I know we got a lot of scriptures this morning, but I want us to be able to answer this question from the Bible. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. I want everybody to realize this morning everything's Jewish. You know, we're sitting here this morning in a New Testament local church. As far as I know, we're all Gentiles. But Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were Jews. The kingdom will be Jewish. The tribulation will be Jewish. Jesus will rule and reign from a place you've probably heard of called Jerusalem. We're just grafted in. Amen? But look at Romans 9, 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises? The word Israel is in the Bible over 2,500 times. This book is about a king, and it's about Israel. God said in Deuteronomy 7 that they are a special people. He said in Genesis 17, he will establish his covenant with Israel. In Acts chapter 3, he says, you're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which he made with our fathers. Romans 3, 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The writers of the scripture were Jews, the New Testament scriptures. And then look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. What is the book of Hebrews about? Well, just look at the name. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. That's in the New Testament. He's quoting from Genesis. Which means the promise in Genesis was still active when the New Testament was written. And what is that promise? There will come a day when God will bless Israel. Yes, they've been waiting 3,000 years for it. But it's still going to happen, because those 3,000 years means nothing to God. With God, 1,000 years is like a day. Time doesn't mean anything. But the key is this word, verse 5, remnant, here in Romans 11, 5. A remnant. He says there will always and has always been a remnant. That's New Testament. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 27. Just back one book. Again, Romans 9, 10, and 11, all about Israel. Romans 9, 27. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Look over in chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming, and so all Israel shall be saved. Wow, that's pretty clear, isn't it? And then this remnant, remember when we went through Isaiah, God mentioned the remnant over and over and over again. I'll give you one example in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 10, 20. Turn there. There's heaps more, but I'm just going to take you to the one. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. Look what he says. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. What about Israel? God hasn't forgotten them. God hasn't forsaken them. God has not given up on them. We're just waiting. And they're waiting. We're waiting for a trumpet They're waiting still for their Messiah and their kingdom. The Messiah who will set up a kingdom. When Jesus came the first time, that's what they wanted more than anything. With them, it wasn't about spiritual things. It was about political things. They wanted Jesus to set up the kingdom that they'd been waiting for so that he could pull them out from under Roman rule. That was what they were most concerned about. And then Jesus started preaching love and forgiveness and telling them that it's in the future. They didn't want to hear that. They just wanted a kingdom. And they still do. Because they know it's been promised over and over again in the Old Testament. And for us, it's even promised in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. There's coming a kingdom. But the kingdom doesn't come until the king comes. Amen? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. There's many people who try to say, oh, the kingdom's already come. Well, if you look at the description of the kingdom, I don't agree with that statement. Because in the kingdom, everything's different. People live hundreds of years. The animals are all vegetarians. There's no more war. There's only peace on earth. Does anybody see any of that going on right now? Because I sure don't. Children playing with poisonous snakes and taking naps with lions. Yeah, I don't see any of that. That's because it's not here yet. So, Acts chapter 1. Oh, no, sorry, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. There's the order. The kingdom doesn't come until the king comes. First the King of Kings has to come. Then he's going to set up his kingdom. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6, this is very interesting, and we're almost done. When we get to Acts chapter 1, Jesus has just spent 40 days teaching his disciples. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get a glimpse of all that, but he didn't write it down for us. But he just spent 40 days with his disciples, teaching them about what was to come, teaching them, preparing them for when he was going to leave so that they could reach the world for Jesus and so forth. But look at the last question they asked him. Just before he went back to heaven, look what it was about. Verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, of all the questions they could have asked Jesus just before he was going back to heaven to be our intercessor, what was it about? The kingdom for Israel. That's the last question they asked Jesus. Is it now, Lord? Do we get our kingdom now? What does Jesus say? Verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then he tells them, you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. In other words, not yet, guys. Not yet. And then, of course, he gave John a glimpse of it in Revelation. But there's going to come a day. Look at Zechariah 14, verse 16, next to the last book in the Old Testament. After Jesus takes us away so that he can deal with a different group, first he's going to remove one group, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church, the age of grace, and he's going to start working on a different group, Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. The woman with the crown of 12 stars who brought forth a man-child that's going to rule the nations. He's going to deal with that. And when all that's finished, Zechariah 14, 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14 is all about the coming kingdom. Look where the headquarters will be, Jerusalem. And you and I are born-again Christians in the age of grace, but there's going to come a day when we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in his Jewish kingdom. And we're going to worship him in person at Jerusalem, where there will be a proper temple. And he will sit on the throne of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus. Amen. All Israel will be saved. That's what we just read in Romans chapter 11. God is not done with Israel. It's just on hold until this parenthetical mystery group gets removed, called the church. Then he will deal with them for 7 years, and then he will give them this kingdom they've been waiting for. You and I get to come back with Jesus when this happens. We get to watch him judge the nations. And what do in Revelation 20 but rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? Amen. How exciting is that? So do you pray for Israel? I hope so. Because God's not done with them. And yeah, they're in the news almost every day right now, aren't they? Shouldn't be surprising. We're in the last days. But we as Christians need to stand with them. Amen? They are still God's people. And they will always be God's people. Now, I didn't talk to you, but if you're here and you're not sure you're born again, as you know, in Romans chapter 10, we're told how to be born again. Just a couple verses before, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen? Everyone needs to be saved. Israel one day will be saved. We need to be saved. Saved from what? From hell? From consequences of our sin? That's why Christ died and rose again, so we could be saved. And I hope everyone can say, I'm saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. But we've answered the question. What about Israel? No, he's not done. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you again for your word and how clear it is. Lord, that you've just made all this easy for us to understand, those of us that can look back. And I pray, Lord, we would pray for Israel and that we would stand with Israel. And Lord, that we would excitedly wait for that trumpet to blow, like we talked last week. And until then, may we be faithful. Thank you for speaking to